Today on Mr. Media, we've got the audio from St. Petersburg Times media critic Eric Deggan's interview with Simon Cowell, who offers a preview of his new Fox show, The X Factor. Stick around. So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be Mr. Media. This is a Mr. Media interview. You know, MrMedia.com, MrMedia.com. Stop by and check it out. There are more than 900 archived celebrity and pop culture interviews for your listening pleasure. The show is brought to you today by Audible. Audible is offering Mr. Media listeners a free audiobook download and a 14-day trial offer to give you a chance to check out their very cool service. I love listening to books on tape. If you've never tried it before, actors or sometimes the authors themselves read to you. It's great for the commute, the beach, or even unwinding before bed. You can choose a free audiobook from Audible's enormous library of American Idol titles, including A Hell of a High Note, Surviving Life, Love, and American Idol by Cara DioGuardi. Beyond Me, Finding Your Way to Life's Next Level by Melinda Doolittle, and Heart Full of Soul by Taylor Hicks. Here's an excerpt from Heart Full of Soul, read by Taylor Hicks.
Weren't all that many. Being on American Idol felt like riding some crazy bullet train. The problem was, you were never sure if you'd get thrown off the train. That's the thing about reality TV. It offers a unique crash course in fame. One that can end suddenly and painfully. The whole experience can be thrilling, exciting, and a little scary. A real trip in every sense of the word. Somehow, to the surprise of a whole lot of naysayers, I'd actually made it to the Idol finale. In the end, it had come down to just Catherine McPhee and myself. The two of us didn't talk much to each other as we awaited the big decision that evening. It was nothing personal, though. I liked Catherine and knew that she'd worked hard to get this far. Plus, let's face it, she was pretty easy on the eyes and it was more fun looking at her than Chris Daughtry.
To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/radio. Again, that's audibletrial.com/radio for your free audiobook. And now, here's media critic Eric Deggan of the St. Petersburg Times with his interview of The X Factor creator and star Simon Cowell. To read more of Eric's work, you can follow his blog, The Feed, at tampabay.com/blogs/media.
Simon?
Eric, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thanks for making time to talk.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
So, you've got the auditions starting, and you'll be here in a couple of weeks. Will these auditions be very different than what we saw you guys do for Idol?
The open auditions, open auditions are open auditions. It's where you get a chance to be noticed. But the auditions that take place in front of the judges are different, yes, because they're in front of 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people. It's like the auditions are in arenas. And you get to sing either a cappella or with a backing track or with a keyboard player, but it's a very, very different experience.
And is this going to be set up the way we've seen Idol do it, where you do the big cattle calls and then bring people back later to meet the folks who will be on camera?
Well, that's the intention.
Great.
Yeah.
So it seems like all these sort of knockoffs of X Factor are kind of cropping up, and I'm thinking about NBC's The Voice in particular.
Mm-hmm.
Worried at all about people nabbing a bit of your magic before you debut?
No. I mean, we kind of expected it. I have a show with NBC, America's Got Talent, so I did get a call. I said, do whatever you want, but if you deliberately try and steal what you know is already there with the intention of ruining my show, then we don't have a relationship anymore. Other than that, do whatever you like.
And what would you consider stealing from?
Well, they know what the show is, and I know what their show is. So, you know, I think as long as everybody sticks to what they've done before, nobody has an issue. You know, I can't stop people making shows. I mean, it would be hypocritical to do that. If somebody intentionally tries to do it as a spoiler, actually, normally it normally ruins it for itself, to be honest with you, because the show ends up being what it never intended to be in the first place. But look, I think NBC, and I spoke to Paul about it, the guy who commissioned the show. He said he's under massive pressure from his bosses with the success of X Factor in the UK and Idol in America, that he had to do something. So I don't suppose you can blame him, really.
Well, they could have come to you, right?
I wouldn't have made the show. I only saw the preview, the promo tape, and I burst out laughing. It's all these weird chairs that swivel around or something. It's just too gimmicky.
As you go to develop your X Factor, is there anything that you have to change from the UK version to meet American tastes, or does it pretty much translate?
It pretty much translates. I mean, some of the stuff I was going to do on the show last year, I kind of held back because, like we were just discussing, it's such a competitive business, this. If you do something in advance, I guarantee you somebody else will do it afterwards. It's just one of those things. We had four producers working on X Factor last year for the first time. Idol has four producers working on Idol for the first time this year. It's just one of those things.
You know, it's interesting. I saw that you were talking about how Glee changed the music industry. And, you know, some artists have complained about that. You know, we saw the guy from Foo Fighters complaining. And it reminded me that there were some artists who complained about X Factor, Elton John and Roger Daltrey. And I'm thinking to myself, you guys are the ones who are figuring out how to sell records, right?
Well, I've never understood really what their issue was. I mean, there was one time people complaining because we kept other people out of the charts. And you go, well, the chart is an endless chart now. It changes every hour, so that's not true. We're stopping people selling records. No, we're not. We're getting people back into record shops. I think it's just a question of turning into a grumpy old man, particularly somebody like Roger Daltrey. You know, like when your dad years ago would say, turn the music down. I don't like it, you know. Oh, shut. And just being irritable and grumpy. I think it was just a bit of that, to be honest with you.
What does it take, though, to sell records in this modern economy?
Well, to be honest with you, I actually feel quite optimistic at the moment. I think it's a good time for music now. You know, it's interesting looking at the ratings of the Grammys this year. You know, they were really big and very healthy. And I think there's just an interesting breed of artists who've come along, whether you like them or not. Justin Bieber is encouraging a whole new generation of fans to buy music and download music. Willow Smith, the same thing. And then on the other side of the equation, you've got someone like Susan Boyle, who's getting people back into places like Walmart to buy records, physical copies of CDs, which doesn't happen as much anymore. So I only see this as a positive thing. And this show has to reflect, you know, all of those artists I mentioned. It has to cover all the different areas and as be as broad-minded as possible.
It's interesting to me because I remember a time when TV used to look down on the music industry, and it was almost thought like they were doing favors to even big artists by giving them showcases on television. And now that seems to have changed. I mean, American Idol, you know, rules television as well as records. Do you feel that shift too?
Well, totally. And funny enough, one of the reasons why I made Idol in the first place is that I got so fed up with having to beg to get my artists on TV shows, because as you said, there were so few spots available and the spots were terrible and there weren't really many big enough shows really to make a difference, and that was one of the reasons why we made the show, is that we could own the platform, so to speak.
Well, it's interesting, you know, sort of watching how Idol is unfolding this season, and people are making a lot of the fact that the judges seem to be nicer. As somebody who's watched the show, I sort of feel like they're tolerating performances that you wouldn't have.
I know what you mean.
But what do you think about that notion of, you know, niceness versus your sort of in-your-face honesty? Has the game changed a little bit in that respect?
For Idol it has, yes. I think everybody's happy with that decision. They're happy with it. I'm happy with it. I think it's going to make, well, you're going to see the obvious difference when X Factor comes on, because it's not going to be like that. Not intentionally, but it won't have that kind of apple pie, constantly smiling, whatever it is. I just couldn't make a show like that, to be honest with you. But, you know, like I said, I'm not knocking them. I mean, they're happy doing it that way. It's just not what I would do. So I think it's going to be good, really, because it means that, you know, the X Factor will feel and look very different to Idol now, which is a good thing.
And do you feel like, in a way, what you're doing is a little more honest? Because you've got not just the competitors really competing, you've got the judges really competing, too.
100%. I would only hire judges who would only be truthful with the contestants, because there's no other way of doing it. It's boring for the audience if you just tell everybody they're good when they're not, instead of when having a judging panel. And you're right. I mean, of course we're going to be in competition with each other. You know, anyone who works in musical TV is competitive, full stop. I said this to someone the other day. If I'm playing Monopoly and I'm losing, I throw the board up. I hate losing. I really do.
That's the only thing that keeps you from losing, right?
The feeling of winning is much better than losing. So I never sit there happy getting the silver medal. I'm sulking for ages. So I'm like that in this competition. You know, I want the contestants I'm being given to mentor to win.
So, and I'm wondering, is other than the obvious, there's no age cutoff, are the type of contestants that we're going to see do well on the X Factor different than the kind of contestants who do well on Idol?
Well, really, this is the whole point of when I decided to do this kind of press now. I was more interested in promoting the auditions, really, than I was the show. Because this is the point where I can say, look, we've got L.A. Reid. We put a lot of money up for the winner. We want somebody who's reflecting what is happening in the charts today. Don't be afraid to audition if you're that kind of artist.
So, like, if you were Lady Gaga, you might be too distinctive to do well in Idol, but you'd have a home at X Factor?
100%. 100%, and you can see that on Idol. You know, there is a certain look of Idol contestants, and I think the X Factor will be a very, very different kind of look, which, again, I think is a good thing.
And since you're sort of speaking to the auditions, if you were talking directly to people who are thinking about auditioning, what advice would you give them about preparing and what they should do when they get there?
I would really do your research. There was a song last year, an Elton John song called Your Song, which was covered by a girl called Ellie Goulding, and she's like some 18, 19-year-old girl, I think. And she did this very sweet, different version of the song and turned the song, which is, I think, 30 or 40 years old now, into something which sounded very cool, very current, very different. And it was in the UK charts for weeks and weeks and weeks. And it's the sort of thing I would love to hear. Somebody who's bothered to do some research on a song they loved, found their own kind of unique version of it, or a version not many people would know, and do something different. And at the same time, because of what we were talking about in the charts today, I mean, you look at someone like Katy Perry, where her image is everything. You know, don't be afraid to stand out in the crowd.
And what mistakes do auditioners most often make in the X Factor auditions in the UK?
It's when they come in and do a direct copy of, say, a Stevie Wonder song with the Stevie Wonder arrangement, with the Stevie Wonder ad-libs. Like we're looking for somebody who doesn't sound as good as Stevie Wonder. I mean, that's when I get frustrated.
You know, it's funny, I did this piece for National Public Radio where I talked about how Randy must have said that like six times to people in one of the episodes. Yeah, he kept saying, you sound just like the record, except not as good. And
yeah.
You guys have been telling people that for years. You know?
You say it forever. The other thing which I'm really trying to make a point of this year is certainly to anyone under the age of 18, do not listen to your parents. Don't listen to them in terms of the song choice. Don't let them choose what you're going to wear, particularly the 12, 13, 14-year-olds, because we used to get a lot of these kids who were practically shoved on by their parents in the wings, singing horrific versions of Annie while their mother was sort of mouthing it in the wings. You can imagine the scenario. And I think anyone whose mother or father has chosen the song probably won't even get given a chance to audition this year. I'm really making it clear the kids have got to make their own mind up this year.
That's great. I think I'm going to follow like a 12-year-old who is pretty successful around here, who's going to come down April 7th. So,
oh, cool.
I will make sure I tell her that.
Honest to God, please give her that confidence that they absolutely nowadays know much, much more than their parents do.
Well, I know you got to go, and I appreciate your time, sir.
No, I enjoyed the conversation. Thank you.
We'll look forward to seeing you when you get down here.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And thanks for everything you've done to promote this. I appreciate it.
No problem. Have a good one.
And to you. Take care.
Folks, you can watch Simon Cowell's new talent hunt, The X Factor, every Tuesday this fall beginning September 21st. For more original interviews with America's top reality TV stars, surf over to our main website, MrMedia.com, MRMedia.com. If you've enjoyed today's show, subscribe for free to Mr. Media via email, RSS, or iTunes, and you'll never miss another show. You can also download our new free Mr. Media mobile app in the Android market. You can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in many parts of Tinseltown. Show your support of Mr. Media by supporting our sponsors, including Audible. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/radio. Again, that's audibletrial.com/radio for your free audiobook. We're also supported by thepartyauthority.us. Call DJ Ira for all your party entertainment needs nationwide at 1-800-DIAL-DJs or visit their website, thepartyauthority.us. If you've got an idea for a guest, a comment on today's show, or would like to advertise on Mr. Media Radio, email us directly at bob@mrmedia.com. You can also call our 24-hour listener line, 1-727-498-4711, and leave a message. Some messages may be used in an upcoming show, and if you live outside the 727 area code, there may be a toll charge. You can also follow Mr. Media on Facebook, Twitter, or our new YouTube video channel. Thanks so much for joining us today. We really appreciate you sharing a piece of your day with Mr. Media. Thanks for listening.
Everybody, this is Kevin.com Brown from the Emmy award-winning 30 Rock, and you know what? I wish I had 30 rocks to throw at Mr. Media's ass. Yeah!